Shauna, you are a Maida Heater superfan.
I am, Francis.
Tell us why.
Well, I think it probably started, I'd say, early mid-2000s for me, which in Maida's long career is pretty late. But for me, it was about the time that I had gotten married. I was doing a lot of cooking and baking and generally being very domestic. And I was drawn to these recipes. I was looking at a lot of Dory Greenspan, who, if we know Dory, she's basically like next-gen Maida Heater, right? And Dory talks about Maida's recipes quite a bit. And so that's what brought me to Maida. And once I started on these recipes, I couldn't stop. There's just an accessibility and a simplicity that really spoke to who I am as a baker and as a person. I'm from the Midwest originally. I like all American simple comfort food. And I think that baking at its best is exactly that. And those are the types of recipes that she writes.
And do you remember like either the first thing you made of hers or the thing that really stands out that you were like, wow, like I love this person. I don't just love this recipe. I love the person who wrote this recipe.
Yes, it was the East 62nd Street lemon cake, which is pretty legendary in the Maida canon. It's kind of like the most lemony pound cake you've ever had. And the story behind it is actually her daughter, Toni, lived on East 62nd Street in New York. And it was a recipe her daughter had found and then Maida tweaked it to perfection. And that was the first recipe of hers that I tried. And so I really started on the cakes. And even to this day, when I feel like baking and I don't know exactly what I want to make, if I want to make either a cake or a cookie, I go to Maida first.
So okay, I have to admit, I don't know that much about Maida Heater. But one thing I did happen to catch was actually in the acknowledgments of her cookbook, where she talks about how people had sent in, you know, some of their favorite recipes as they were compiling this kind of like greatest hits kind of book. And she said there was sort of like a controversy around the East 62nd lemon cake because there's another lemon cake that she makes called the Best Damn Lemon Cake. And apparently there are like camps. They're like Maida Heater tribe. There was a rift. There are the Best Damn Lemon Cake people and the 62nd Street Lemon Cake people. How do you feel about the other lemon cake?
Well, as in life, I tend to play Switzerland in these situations. I have made both. I love both, and they are different. When you look at the ingredients list, you can see that the ingredients are somewhat similar. The technique is a little different. I would say that the Best Damn Lemon Cake, which is very, very good, is like a really super moist lemon loaf cake. It's the kind of thing that you would probably have with a cup of coffee in the afternoon, whereas the East 62nd Street Lemon Cake is bigger. It's a bundt cake, and it's the kind of big grand thing that you could take to a dinner party or give as a gift. And it's a little bit more of a pound cake. I don't want to say drier because it is not at all dry, but the crumb is a little bit tighter and it's a little more velvety, like a pound cake. So I think that there is a difference. I love both for different reasons.
Yeah. And I love that she has these two cakes that are like among her signature, although I guess she has many signature recipes, but you know, she cares enough that she's going to make two like different lemon cakes that are like distinct from one another, and they will have like different fans. But like it seems like, oh, she's so intricately involved in the craft where she's going to go and create these two different versions of it. Talk to us about her as a craftsperson, as a person who like makes these recipes and why they're so inspiring to you.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, all of these recipes have very specific techniques, and she has a way of talking about her techniques in a way that makes it seem like she's super friendly, sitting right next to you. It's not a professor-like quality at all. And I think that part of it is that she came to this later in life. She had all of these different careers, which I think is really interesting. The evolution of Maida as a person is as interesting as the recipes. So she started out in fashion merchandising as an illustrator. And then she became a jewelry designer. Oh, cool. And then she opened a restaurant with her husband in the early mid-60s in Miami. This little cafe was called Inside, was the name of it. Kind of a cute little name. And that's she cute. Started making all the desserts for the restaurant. And I think that part of the technique and why her recipes are written in this really specific way is because she has tested these things millions of times to get them right for their restaurant and make them the legendary desserts that they were. And this story, I have to tell you, is too funny. So it was 1968. the Republican Party was doing their convention in Miami, and she wanted to drum up publicity for their restaurant. So she decides that she's going to serve elephant meat on the menu. So, swear to God. So somehow she comes into a case of canned elephant meat. She develops.
Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious. This is a great story. She makes this elephant omelet with a side of sauteed bananas and chopped peanuts and puts it on the menu. And sure enough, it got a lot of publicity. Nobody ordered it. But one of the people who came to kind of see, you know, the crazy person who would come up with this idea was Craig Claiborne, the legendary New York Times editor.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And while he was at the restaurant, presumably avoiding the elephant meat omelet, he tasted.
That sounds terrible on like 9 levels.
Oh, God. It's terrible. It's terrible. But it worked. I mean, she got a ton of press. At this stage in her life, she was like, you know, what do I have to lose? Let's just do something crazy. And since she got Craig Claiborne's attention, he said, you know what? You got to write a cookbook. I mean, she was teaching classes because people loved her dessert so much. And she got to work. And then the book came out in, her first book came out in 1974. And she wrote 9 books total. But the thing I love the most is that first book came out, she was 58 years old. And to me,
oh, wow.
It's just, and she caught this passion that she had and connected to it, and it became her legacy.
Yeah, 58.
58.
It's incredible, because especially like, you know, like now we have like so much of the national conversation is always about, I mean, whatever, it's like, you can't turn on any form of media without like some new thing trying to explain the millennials. Who are the millennials? What the millennials are doing? And it's like, okay, the oldest millennial is like 38 years old, right? Like they're actually full grown humans.
Yeah.
But it's like so much of that focus just makes us think like, oh, well, if you're 42, like you're already over the hill and forget it.
Put you out to pasture. But this was not the case with her. And she continued to do that for the rest of her life. And this new book has come out with her collection of recipes that still feel so modern. And I collect a lot of vintage cookbooks, like the kitschy stuff, you know, and you can definitely see the gap in time, the way that recipes and tastes have evolved. But everything that she was developing in the early 60s, it still holds. I mean, there's nothing fake about these recipes. There's no cake mix. There's no instant pudding or any of this creepy stuff. This is all from scratch. Most of it is pantry stuff, which is why I love these recipes, because when you feel like baking, you don't want to run to the store to do it. You know, you want stuff that's already in your fridge or in your pantry. And these are the kind of recipes that she offers. And the flavors are not over the top. They're not, you know, showy for the sake of being showy. She really chooses specific recipes to use kind of unexpected flavors. So one great example of this is her chocolate intrigue. And it's not a chocolate intrigue cake. It's just called Chocolate Intrigue. So good. I mean, her recipe titles are the best. So the Chocolate Intrigue is actually a cake. It doesn't have too much flour in it, so it's kind of similar to what we would think of as being a flourless cake. But she actually puts black pepper in it, like just half a teaspoon of black pepper, which really brings out, you know, the bitterness in the chocolate. It gives that sort of note to the cake that you can't quite put your finger on. The texture is delicious. And the head note for this recipe is one more thing to love about Maida, because you're reading through her recipes. She seems like a friend who's right there with you that you've known your entire life, super casual. And then the head note for this starts, Gloria and Jacques Pepin and some of their friends came to our home for a visit one afternoon while I was testing this recipe.
Oh,
just casual.
NBD.
Just threw open
just
the back
by.
Door. Jacques, just making a cake. Hey, I mean, these are the kinds of things that make you go, this woman came kind of out of nowhere, you know, in her late 50s, puts out this book, becomes instantly revered in the food world, and she's making cake with Jacques Pepin hanging out. Like, it's just amazing to me. And I don't think that she ever let it go to her head. By all accounts, she has always been as wonderful and warm as ever. And, you know, maybe some people know this story, but she was always known for carrying wrapped brownies in her bag. Her famous brownie recipe, she always had them wrapped in cellophane.
Like literally just like she's walked around the earth with like brownies in her bag?
Yeah, exactly. Because you never know who you're going to run into. So, you know, why aren't we all doing this? So that was something that she was known for. And Dory in the book, because Dory Greenspan wrote the foreword for this new book, Happiness is Baking. And she retells the story of when Maida was honored at the James Beard Award. She went up, accepted her award, and then opened up this bag and just started tossing brownies into the audience. Like the Mick Jagger of baking. And everyone was like, yeah, just living for it. It's so great. Yeah. So great.
Oh, man. That is amazing. Okay, mm-hmm. Now I totally understand why you are a Maida Heater super fan. Yep. Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you.